Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
The Craig Ferguson Fancy Rascal stand-up tour continues throughout 2024. For a full list of dates and tickets, go to thecraigfergusonshow.com/tour. See you out there. thecraigfergusonshow.com/tour. My name is Craig Ferguson. The name of this podcast is Joy. I talk to interesting people about what brings them happiness. Taylor Williamson was the youngest ever stand-up comedian that I ever had on the old late night show. And yet, even although I put him on the show, he's still working. Well, he's an old man now. I think he's like 37 or something. Let's have a chat. Okay, so let me just say one thing to you first, which is we're in Los Angeles right now.
Yes.
Right? And I was talking to my wife on the phone this morning, because she's in Scotland. And she said, "Who are you talking to this morning?" I said, "Taylor Williamson." And she went, "Oh, tell him I said hi." I'm like, "What do you mean, tell him I said hi?" She went, "Oh, yeah, we're Instagram buddies." "You're Instagram buddies with my wife?"
"Yeah, is that okay?"
"I guess, yeah. I mean, if it wasn't okay, she wouldn't have said anything about it." She'd have went, "Oh, yeah, I heard of him." But so how did that come about? What's going on?
I don't know. I mean, I think she followed me on Instagram.
She thinks you're funny. That's true. As do I.
It means so much to me.
Well, you are funny. You
know? I'm grateful.
Well, you are great at being comedy.
Thank you. I was wondering, we may have met at your house one time.
We were working on a thing together.
I think that's what happened. And then I probably like commented on one of your things, like, ha ha ha, you know? And she's like, "Oh." And then,
do you have a lot of ersatz digital relationships that with
people's wives like me a lot? I don't know. I think it's because I think it's offensive, actually. I think people feel comfortable with their partners being friends with me.
Yeah, you know what? I don't want to insult you, but I am kind of comfortable with it. Like, I don't want to be, but you know, it's kind of weird because, you know, if it was like, I don't know, if she was Instagram friends with like some other people.
Drake. You don't want that.
Yeah. If she was Instagram friends with Drake, I'd be like, "Well, what the hell are you Instagram friends with Drake for?"
Yeah, but Taylor Williamson, you're like, "Yeah, stay at his house tonight. It's okay.
Yeah, it's all right. He can come over while I'm not here. That's fine."
Yeah,
so listen, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about something because years ago, you were the youngest guy ever to appear on my late night show. Do you know that?
I put that on my bio. I don't know if that's true, but I think it is.
Yeah, I think you were. I don't know if you were the youngest person. I mean, sometimes it was babies on and stuff.
Yeah.
But not doing stand up. You were the youngest stand up, I think.
It's the biggest It was the biggest thing I ever got. It still is one of the most major things I ever got to do, truly. Like,
me too.
You were the oh, poor guy. But you were the first major comedy icon to be like, hey, this guy's, take a look at this guy.
Really? I thought you did well in the, I mean, the, was it America's Got Talent?
That was
the...
8 years later.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, now it's interesting because I...
Ask your wife. She followed my career. Yeah.
But here's the thing. Was what was the first one you did? So You Think You're Funny then? Was that though? No.
No, I did Last Comic Standing. That was
Last Comic Standing.
That was, so no, I did.
You didn't do So You Think You Can Dance? Did you do that one?
I did America's Next Top Model.
Right, and, okay. When Tyra was hosting.
Yeah.
Congratulations, you're still in the running to become America's Next Top Model. Which I've got to say, much as I admire Tyra, I think that's a terrible catchphrase.
It's wordy.
It's a little busy, you know. I mean, congratulations, you're still in the running to become America's Next Top Model. It's too much.
Is that really what she said?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the bet when if you make it through the elimination round.
What would be a better one?
You ain't dead yet.
How about like, hey, your face is still good enough for us.
Hey, you're still pretty.
Yeah.
You're still pretty. How about that?
Remember that one woman from the show? She married the guy from the Brady Bunch.
I don't know about this.
You got to pay attention to show business, pal.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry, man. I've been busy.
So listen, I did, I started stand up in 2000.
No, wait a minute. Before we go on,
I'm answering your question.
No, but I want you to answer the question, but I want you to tell me about the model that married the Brady Bunch guy. What happened there?
I think that I could be wrong. But like the first winner of the show, yeah. She married the middle Brady, respectfully, Christopher Knight.
Oh, man.
Maybe.
That's a deep cut for me. I don't know.
You're not American. Did you have the Brady Bunch?
I am American.
Oh, excuse me. I'm respect. You are American. Yeah, you are what America's all about, pal.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Listen, can I tell you how this business goes? I've been doing this for 20 years.
Right.
And like, it's up and down, you know? But like, I'm trying to get my next big, like big, whoa, like career thing, you know?
Okay.
And I know a couple people have been canceled recently.
Yeah, you should probably get canceled.
And they're killing it.
Yeah, you should get canceled.
They are thriving.
It's the new thing.
You have a few months where you're like, oh, maybe I should move it to China for a few months just to get away from the world, you know? But then like 4 years later, you're selling at Madison Square Garden, you know?
Well, I think it's a marginalized cancel that you're after. You want to be canceled by a certain group of people, but you want to be celebrated by the people who disagree with the people who cancel you.
Right.
And so that's kind of the way you go. But society is so fragmented now.
Yes.
That being canceled by one group can actually be a step forward with another group.
Truly. I remember talking to big comedian from an older big comedian. I said, why don't you talk about politics, speak out? And he's like, I don't want to split my audience, you know, 50-50 of people, whatever. Yeah. But now it's like you could have... There's comedians who are like, I'm the nurse comedian. You don't know
right.
what I'm talking about. If you're a nurse, I'm really funny. They sell out big theaters.
Well, there's a lot of nurses out there.
Yeah.
I think what it is as well is that everybody wants to have their own special thing.
Yeah.
That they're upset about.
Yeah.
I get it. I'm upset about, you know, I'm upset about a lot of things. But I never do politics in the act. Never.
Yeah.
But not because I don't want to split the audience. It's because I'm so sick of it.
Yeah.
I'm sick of hearing it. I'm sick of hearing people I agree with.
Yeah.
Like when
of
they,
course.
They when they talk. You know when I had a conversation with Jim Gaffigan a couple of years ago, and Jim was saying we were talking about how because he works clean, right, and he doesn't cuss in his act and stuff. And you're like that too, actually, right?
I started cursing a little bit, but yeah, I happen to work clean.
All right. So I was talking to Jim about it. Now, Jim, I've known for a long time, you know, and he cusses the way people do, you know, sometimes and not other times. He's not a big cusser, but he's not a kind of, oh, you've never heard Jim swear.
Yeah.
But I said, so why don't you swear in the act if it's, you know, and he said it was a stylistic choice. It was a stylistic choice and I wanted to see if I could do it. And I went, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. And somehow I felt like, oh, yeah, of course. And I made that same choice with politics. I'm like, I'm not going to do any, I'm not even going to mention those guys by name. I'm not even going to admit that politics exists. And I found that I enjoy doing the stand-up more because I don't, not because of anything to do with the audience, just because I don't want to talk about that. It's boring. And if you don't want to talk about it, then you shouldn't.
As an audience member, I feel the same way as you. Is like, even when I agree with you, I don't want to hear about this because it makes me sad. And like, but the one of the things that makes me want to start cursing more on stage is I get like low-key rage if someone says to me, you know, my favorite thing about your comedy is you're clean.
Oh, yeah, that would make me angry, too. If
I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, I will fight you. My mom's friend at this funeral, I will fight you.
Yeah.
Maybe not the best place.
No, nah, it's not the way to do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I remember, because when people who have no sense of humor or don't understand stand-up comedy will sometimes say, good comedian doesn't have to swear. Yeah, good comedian doesn't have to cuss. You know, yeah. I go, well, I know Richard Pryor was a pretty good comedian.
Yeah,
yeah. I think, and, you know, I don't know if that's it. It's language. You know what I mean? And if you work with the language, and if you decide not to use that, then that's fine. But if you do, then you do. It's just, I don't know.
And I've heard interviews with great comics who I admire, and everyone has their own point of view. That's the answer to the story. But like, yeah, it's lazy to curse. And I used to think that. But then I have a couple jokes now where I curse, and I'm like, it's not lazy. It's the word that's necessary for this joke to work. And
also, lazy gets a bad rap. Lazy is actually an okay thing. We got to stop being down. Stop shaming people for being lazy. I know some lazy people who are awesome.
I think COVID made it okay to be lazy. We were told, please be lazy.
Yeah, just relax. You know, stay home. Don't go out there spreading the bug. Just stay home. Now, listen, tell me. I did ask you at the beginning about you getting started, and it was you didn't start on America's Top Model.
I started on your show, basically.
Well, that was the very first thing. Not so how come you got on my show? Because I thought somebody had seen you on the booker had seen you.
She saw my tape. I did Just for Laughs Festival. I got stuff early on.
That's how I started Just for Laughs. In America, certainly.
In Canada.
In Canada, yeah, but they sold it in America.
Oh, okay.
Because I was, No, tell me about you. It's not about me. So you're Just for Laughs Festival?
I started standing when I was 17.
So they had a kids festival? Like,
okay,
Just for Laughs Babies?
I tried milking the kid thing. I was like, put me on a Disney Channel show. And I got a manager when I was young, and he wouldn't let me do any of that stuff. And like, I'm kind of bitter, but I probably would have done drugs and stuff. So
yeah, you would have, yeah. I wouldn't let my kids...
be on the Disney Channel show.
Watch Disney. To be fair, I've worked a lot for the Disney organization over the years, and they've always been very nice to me, so I can't badmouth them. But my kids, every time, when my kids were young, why, this is not about me.
I care about your family, but they're for my friends.
All right, so...
It's basically my family. Yeah,
it's your family. All right, so you weren't on... Somebody saw you on...
I did Just for Laughs.
Just for Laughs Kids, and then booked it on my show.
And they had this New Faces showcase where they, like, the new breed of comedians. So my year was Adam Devine and Nikki Glaser and Hannibal and...
That's a great year.
Yeah, then there's a whole bunch of people. And then Reggie Watts was one of them. It's a funny group of people. And then, 6 months later, I got to do your show. It was February... 14th, 2007 was my first time, and I was terrified. That was like, when I see you, it's kind of triggering, actually. Yeah. Cause like, it was a gnarly...
You get triggered?
Oh, yeah.
You scared? Were you scared of the big bad man put you on the TV show?
I was so scared. It's terrifying. And like,
yeah, it was scary at first. Stand-up should be scary at first.
Yeah, but you know when I tell young people now, someone told this to me, and I'm just passing along wisdom like I came up with it, but like, when you have nerves, that means you care.
Sure.
And it's a good thing. Like, yeah. When you lose that, it's kind of sad a little bit.
I don't know. I don't have any more. I don't get nervous about this.
Sad.
No.
You're killing my theory.
I used to physically, I would throw up before a show. I was so nervous.
Yeah,
I was terrifying. But I think, you know, you do it often enough. Look, I say this to audiences now as well when I go out. Look, I've been doing this for a long time. I made a lot of money. I've won some awards. I've been very successful. So,
yeah.
So if this show sucks, it's you. It's not me, because I've proved myself here.
Right.
It's got to be you. So right. Let's see how you do. How long you been an audience? What, 5 minutes? You don't even know what you're doing yet.
That's so good.
But I think that I get a sense of, I don't know if you get this, but right now, and I will stop talking about me in a minute. I don't know what the hell I'm doing today. But I get a sense of when I go on stage now, it's where I'm meant to be. I get an absolute sense of peace. Like I can do this. I know this. This is my world. And there's a lot of things I don't know how to do. But this I know how to do.
I love that. I think very similar to that.
Oh, yeah?
In this business and life that's full of rejection and you're just... self-doubt, internal doubt and external doubt upon me and what I do.
Yeah.
And my biggest source of validation for what I'm doing with my life is when I go on stage and I go, okay, you know what? I got this figured out. Like,
yeah.
And I'm more comfortable there than I am in other places, which is a bizarre thing to do, but it's the thing I've worked.
No, I totally understand it. So, but you wanted to be in stand-up from being a very young kid. I mean, it's like, to me, stand-up is kind of like being a realtor. It's an okay job and you get your picture on a bus stop and stuff, but no one wants to really be one. It's just like you do something because you failed at other stuff. but that's not for you. You really wanted to do it, right?
Yeah, it's like porn and real estate and stand-up comedy is the backup plan of other things.
I noticed that when actors got cancelled, when people were getting cancelled all the time, like actors, if they got cancelled, they would all start doing stand-up. Like, it's okay to be a pervert and stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they're taking my jobs.
Yeah, there's room for everybody.
But
what I'm trying to get at is, do you have a very bad relationship with your parents?
Well, it comes down to mommy issues.
That's what Megan, my wife, who you know very well, says. she says it's all about, let me just turn my phone off, sorry, because she'll probably call me.
She'll call me too. I should turn off my
phone. Yeah, you should turn off your phone as well. Megan says that all stand-ups have the same mom. I've talked to a bunch of stand-ups about this. Cold with bad boundaries. That's what she says.
I love my mom, and we've been through a lot, and we're in a good, healthy place now. But we have had a lot of stuff, and she has a lot of stuff from her mom, and it's a nice generational trauma that's passed down. It's a tradition in my family.
Yeah, you know what's funny about it? I was at a Hollywood party once, and a famous actor guy, and his kid came over. The mom brought the kid over. And he was about 13. She went, this is our son. He really wants to be a stand-up comedian. And I was like, you're a terrible mother. You're a terrible mother.
Yeah, don't encourage that.
Yeah, I know.
But my mom is part of my trigger for seeing you is because I was 20 doing Late Late Show. And I'm trying to be a good person. I hear all the stories. You bring your mom. You got to bring your mom. And like, so I invited my mom from San Diego to come up. And but we don't have like, we didn't have like a close, we had a lot of stuff, right? And she came and she rides. You sent like a nice car to come pick me up, and I
gotta
go there.
Be honest with you, Taylor. I didn't personally send.
I know you don't. I know you don't do it, but it's yours. Let's just take credit.
Yeah, all right.
And then you drove. You were not driving.
I was driving. I was wearing. That's when I used to wear the little chauffeur uniform. Welcome to the Late Late Show, cheeky monkey. Oh, I'll drive you in.
Full service. I always think of this Three Stooges episode where he goes, full service.
Full service. Do you ever read Full Service by Scotty Bowers?
No.
Oh my God. I'll tell you about that in a minute. All right. So
my mom came, and then I had a man. It's so silly talking about.
Right. Right. Yeah, really? I can't remember. What was it? What did you say?
It'd be weird if you remembered. My cue card was, there's all jokes in context, making fun of people for using these words. You know, right, like I'm still proud of what it was, you know?
Right, right. Are you scared to say the words?
No, well, I said, it said gay.
Okay, that's an okay word.
But I'm making fun of people to say gay. But then the R word, whatever that is, you know?
The R. Oh, all right.
I said
okay.
That was the punchline, making fun of, like, you know, these kids, they call everything gay, you know.
Oh, but
the way they talk, it's so.
Oh, right. Right.
Yeah, the comedy.
Yeah,
you know?
Let's get the hell away from this.
And then I said, move on. And then whore. I talk about like.
Whore. I think whore is fine as a word. I call myself a whore all the time.
Yeah.
Whore is one of those words that. Yeah, it depends on how you use it and where you use it.
I agree.
In the context.
But just funny, I said these words on TV. And then I did a show 6 months later, and they wouldn't let me say anything. Like, because Don Imus happened in between.
Oh.
And there was a whole big difference. Yeah. But anyways, but like, I'm a good person. But so my mom sent a fax. The next day, she sent a fax to my manager. This is 2007.
Fax.
A fax. My mom sent a fax to my man. It was after faxes were not done. You still had faxes on your website, but you're like, who does this?
Yeah.
She sent a fax. She wrote a letter to him saying, thank you so much for taking care of my son's career. He speaks so highly of you. I never told her anything about this. Is all like made up in her.
Right.
And then here's some things that could help him out. Please take him somewhere to get a nice haircut. Please, he has a great singing voice, and maybe that's something you can use. And also, he held the microphone over his face the entire time. Please train him to not do that anymore. Thank you. And I'm just like, boundary issues.
Well, see, there you go. Tick, tick with the bad boundaries right there. You know, it's funny. I talked to, you know, Lewis Black?
Yeah, of course. He's right. Wonderful.
Ah, he's great comic, Lewis. And I was talking to him about his mom. And I said that thing about cold with bad boundaries, that Megan Theory. And he went, oh my God. Because his mom had died about 6 months previously at the age of 104. And he said, you know, I think the first time we looked each other in the eye was on her deathbed.
Oh, no.
I'm like, that's why he's a good comic.
Wow.
You know, but I don't know if it's true for everyone. Maybe it's just true for male stand-ups. Maybe for female stand-ups, it's with their dad or their mom. I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But you hear like Seinfeld gets really like offended if it's brought up to him. Like, so do you think comedians come from traumas or impoverished backgrounds or not enough neglect or not enough attention from the parents, whatever. Yeah. He's just like, I like making people laugh. I'm like, can you just be the guy who likes making people laugh and just know everyone else on the list?
You can do that. I think that's a fair argument. It's like, no, I just like making people laugh. I mean, if you talk to Leno about it, he's like that too. But then at the same time, if you dig deeper with Jay, because I love Jay, you know, Jay's my guy. I love him. But dig deeper with him. He's like, he doesn't eat hot liquids.
Yeah.
And he's a very against any form of liquid diet. Yeah. So soup is like, makes him angry.
Yeah.
And if soup makes you angry, you're not a normal person. And also his mom was Scottish. And if your mom's Scottish, you're not a more normal person. Donald Trump's mother, Scottish.
Oh, wow.
That's why I've always got sympathy for him. I know what it's like.
But the other thing about Jay Leno, respect the hell out of him. But like, I remember him saying, don't say crap. I was like a sponge for like people, like great comics saying these are the rules of comedy. Like I listened to all these interviews, like the deep cuts, and like Jay Leno says, don't say crap. Okay. And then recently heard him say he hasn't had a vegetable in 40 years.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, I shouldn't take advice from this guy.
No, you shouldn't. Like that's the whole thing. It's like, you've got to be a little selective about what you're doing, because you know, there are people who I really respect what they do as comedians, but, you know, I wouldn't let them look after my dog or anything like that.
The Craig Ferguson Fancy Rascal stand-up tour continues throughout the United States in 2024. For a full list of dates and tickets, go to thecraigfergusonshow.com/tour. See you out there.
You know how you can make your summer vacation better? Is with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding and loungewear. It's like being at home, but also going away. It's great. And now you can get 35% off. You can get the unmatched softness. It's really as buttery smoothness of Cozy Earth's bedding. It's better than the finest hotels, and you get a really good night's sleep on your travels. And that's important. It's travel friendly. It's hassle free. Cozy Earth's bedding comes in adorable totes, making it the perfect companion for your adventures near and far. You can stay cool and comfy during long flights, and you know what that's like, with the Cozy Earth temperature-regulating bamboo joggers and pullover crew. Makes you look cool when you're traveling. I like it. Well, as cool as I can look when I'm traveling. So discover your next destination for ultimate comfort at Cozy Earth. Visit CozyEarth.com and use our code JOY at checkout, and you'll get 35% off. And let them know we sent you after the checkout. Promo code JOY. J-O-Y. JOY. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Look, everybody has stuff that stresses them out and annoys them, and I'm no different from anybody else. For example, I get very irritated that people that wear shoes that look like feet. That's not a big deal, but it's a big deal to me. Obviously, there are much more important things to get worried about. Get them off your chest. When you keep them bottled up, it starts to affect you negatively. Now, therapy is a safe place to do that. That's what I did. And you figure out what's going on with you, work it through, and then let it go. Let it go, you see, that's what I think. I've done a lot of therapy, and I have to say I'm a very satisfied customer. If you think I'm kind of tense now, you should have seen me before I started. I really do recommend it. If you can do it, you should do it. If you're thinking of starting therapy, I'd suggest giving BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, it's designed to be convenient, it's flexible, and it's suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with, you know, a licensed therapist, proper one, and then you can switch your therapist at any time for no additional charge. I just think it's a good idea. Give it a shot.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/joypod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/joypod.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Have you still got your little dog?
I have a tiny dog. I love that you know that.
Yeah, Betty, right?
Oh, this is honestly the greatest thing that could ever happen, that you say my dog's name.
No, stop
this
it.
I thought about bringing her here, but I didn't know what the vibe was.
Look, you would be not the first person in Hollywood that turned up here with a little dog for your podcast. It happens.
I became that guy during COVID. I got a tiny dog, and I'm that guy who brings a tiny dog everywhere.
You know Gabe Iglesias?
He's
got little dogs all over the place.
Yeah.
He's a sweet man. You ever worked with him?
No, I just hear the most wonderful thing about him.
Oh, what a terrific dude. Yeah, I mean, just lovely. But again, with a weird mom, though, I gotta say.
A lot of weird moms.
Yeah.
I had a thought on all the, I don't know. Anyways, but...
So, let me tell you then. All right, we're talking about stand-up.
Yeah.
And I watched a little bit, I haven't watched all of it, I'll be honest with you, of the stand-up special that you did at the Comedy Store, the recent one.
Oh, thank you for taking a look. You took a look, that's great.
You know, the sensibility of it, I hope you don't mind me saying so, it feels very late-nighty. It feels like a kind of, hey, welcome to my thing. And it's like the tracking shot into the kind of club and all that. Like, it's like, no, welcome, Terry. It felt like a late night show.
Oh, that's a great compliment.
That's what you were going for, right?
I don't know. I was going for old school kind of vibe.
Yeah, like, it definitely vibed like that. Yeah.
I feel like, thank you. I love that. Yeah. Taylor Williamson Live at the Comedy Store. It's on YouTube for free. And I'd love it if people take a look. And it happens to be clean if anyone cares about that. But it's my best jokes I've ever told. That's what's the most important. It's my best stand-up I've ever put out there.
You should have called the special that. The best jokes I've ever told.
I think maybe I should have.
Yeah.
I can change it. But it's funny, like this business full of rejection, trying to sell shows and trying to get people to believe in me, whatever. And I see a lot of like scummy scumbag comedians are blowing up right now, and that's what people want. And I forgot who said this to me. It was just the great simplest advice or just like thought. Like, I couldn't be one of these filthy guys that does whatever on stage if I wanted to. I'd bomb.
Yeah,
it wouldn't
not
work.
Authentic for you.
All I can do is be me.
Right.
And I have this joy for like old school kind of like I'm Jewish, but like I guess. Just low, kind of self-effacing, a little bit self-deprecating Jewish humor. I don't know.
Right.
And I that's who I am. I don't know.
Either you are.
In the industry, it's not happening a lot anymore, but all I can do is be me at 100%, and I'm more proud of it myself as an artist than I've ever been. So I'm like, I'm going to keep putting this out there, and it's not what everyone wants, but it's what I do, and I'm really good at it, and I don't know.
No, but, I think that's the only way to mental health. I mean, look, when I first came at Hollywood, every single casting director, every single person I met said, can you drop the accent for a role? And I was like, why? And they're like, because then we can put you up for stuff we're putting other people up for. And I'm like, yeah, but there's, I mean, only one of all of these people is getting that job. And why the fuck would I want to put myself in a pool where I'm already, on the back foot? I'm just who I fucking am.
Right.
And occasionally I would, I met Drew Carey and Bruce Helford, actually, who were like, they said, can you do an English accent? And I went, yes, of course. And they're like, yeah, all right, then just do that. But it is an odd thing that people want you to be something else, but really the only thing you can do properly is for stand-up comedy, I think, you have to be yourself.
I think for any artist or people trying to do things, like, I was always told, this is the feedback I got from industry. You're too alternative. Then I got told you're too mainstream.
Right.
Like a joke. Like those were the things I was told,
That's unbelievable.
And then like on the last Comic Standing, the way they cast it was they did very bizarre. Like it was clearly cast before. So there's like two rounds and then the top 10, right?
Right.
And it was before voting. So it was just producers casting. And the semifinals, there's 40 of us, and there's two tapings where they pick two tapings of 20 people, and they picked five of each. This is a math problem, I'm sorry. But the first episode, the first taping, they picked five already. So we're already, they're casting. So they're not going to have 10 people who are this similar, you know?
Right.
But I wore a hoodie during my thing.
Right. Well, that's very alternative. They would think you were like in the White Stripes or something. Right. And it's like, oh no.
But I remember me and Fortune were the ones who were like standouts on that show.
Right.
That didn't get put through. And they told me we already had two alternative guys in the first round. So we didn't put you. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah, we've already got a Scottish guy. Right. So no.
Have you had that happen? Like, I would imagine.
Dude,
like,
I failed the audition when I came here to read the audiobook of the movie Braveheart. And the casting director said, we don't feel your accent is authentic in the casting session. Like, I don't know what the fuck to tell you. I'm sorry. Yeah. And now Scottish people get mad at me because they say that I sound like an American. Like, I've put on an American accent to be successful in America. And I'm like, I got to be honest with you fuckers. Just being able to dampen your Scottish accent isn't enough to make you do well in America. You have to do a wee bit more than that. But, I don't know. Where are you from originally? San Diego?
I'm from San Diego. You ever go there?
Yeah. You know, I have been there a couple of times.
Yeah.
I bought a boat there once.
You bought a boat in San Diego?
Yeah.
Did you leave it there?
No, I sailed it around a little bit and then I sold it.
Around the world?
Yeah, I sailed a boat around the world.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have a boat.
You don't have a boat and you lived in San Diego? What the hell did you do?
I heard the smart rich people move, respectfully.
Yeah.
Is you borrow other people's boats and jets.
Did I say
stuff.
I still own a boat?
Well, I was going to ask to borrow your boat. But
yeah, you can't. I don't have a boat anymore.
Who'd you sell it to?
Oh, I don't know. I think it was a realtor, actually. I think I sold it to a realtor.
A failed stand-up who became a realtor.
Yeah, he failed at stand-up, became a realtor. Or he succeeded at being a realtor, so he didn't have to be a stand-up. So you come up in San Diego and like, were you good at school? Were you?
No.
Right, okay.
My SAT score was so bad that like, I was really good at English and I was really good at, that's about it, I think. You know, but I was
well, that would make sense. Language would be attractive to you if you're drawn to stand-up. How did you get attracted to stand-up? Who did you watch when you were a kid?
I wasn't a fan of stand-up when I was little. It was just this dumb sibling rivalry thing. My brother would listen to like Adam Sandler albums and which was who I should have loved and I loved later, but I want to be the opposite of him. So I was like,
was that to annoy your brother?
Just for my own dumb ego. I remember being like, I don't like music because he likes music.
I've still got that with my brother.
Really?
My brother's 65 years old. I still like, I don't like that. For years, I didn't listen to Led Zeppelin because he liked Led Zeppelin.
Oh, for sure.
And which is crazy because Led Zeppelin are a great band.
Yeah. My brother would listen to Nirvana. I'd be like, ugh. You know, but then I have a little bit of what Jay has for Soup and stuff, you know?
But I
fixed it when I was like 25, you know?
All right.
But I was like, I don't like these things because whatever. Then I tried them as an adult. I'm like, oh, this is actually pretty good. Here's my theory. Can I share my theory on that stuff?
Yeah, sure. I ain't going anywhere. But I don't have a boat anymore.
I think you get, I don't know if this is his thing. A lot of people get stunted. You know how child stars, they say that the age that they become famous is the age of their maturity.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I think for men, maybe, or comedians or people I've met, the age where they become really famous is kind of like the age where they go, I don't have to wear a suit when I go on a late night show, you know? Or I don't have to change diapers, you know? You know what I mean? I think there's kind of that. Like if you were you get famous at 50, you're still going to change diapers for your kid or something.
Yeah, you don't have any kids.
I don't change diapers.
Yeah, because if you just like, if you're going around changing diapers and people aren't like asking you or it's not your kids, there's your canceled right there. that'll get you in trouble.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you hear Taylor was like changing kids' diapers?
See, that's kind of, it's too weird.
It's a little,
I think
creepy.
It's too much. But anyway, but like, so I got into comedy in a bizarre way because I was watching pro wrestling a lot.
Okay.
I was really into pro wrestling.
Yeah.
And I hear the laughter there, the lack of respect I hear from you.
No, not at all. What I was laughing at was the transition from pro wrestling to stand-up comedy. I don't see it, so I'm looking forward to
you don't
it.
See it.
So it's a laughter of anticipation.
Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Well, we don't all know each other, plus he was Canadian.
But he must have been part Scottish.
I'm sure. Yeah, most Canadians of that generation were.
So, but Andy, I watched this documentary on Andy Kaufman on Comedy Central.
Oh yeah,
and like that was the first me thinking like, oh, comedy, that's cool, you know.
Yeah,
and then I listened to Jeff Foxworthy in like seventh grade. I thought that was really cool.
Foxworthy is a great comic.
And he was great, so great. And also, like, for a kid, he's quotable.
Yeah.
Like, I could go to school and be like, hey, you might be a redneck if this, and kids laugh and they think I'm funny.
Yeah.
Like, that was, I always loved jokes you can quote, because I can't remember a street joke to save my life.
No, I'm bad at jokes. I have one joke that I tell in the act. The rest of it is just me bullshit.
Yeah. But like, do you remember, like, street jokes, like, from back in the day? Like
street jokes?
Or, like, what do you call, like, a joke that, like, I do like Jewish benefits sometimes, and there's always some like old Jewish guy like, hey, you want to hear a joke? And I stand there for like seven minutes.
Yeah, and they tell you the joke, and there's one laugh maybe at the end of it. It's like, I don't get that joke structure that is told by people who say, you want to hear a joke? And then you a long story, then nothing funny happens. And at the end, a sort of funny thing maybe happens, or maybe just a shit thing happens.
And especially these like private events, you try to be extra polite, you know, because like you're getting paid to hang out kind of. And then like, so you start like polite laughing halfway through, but you think that's the punchline and it's not.
Yeah, I know. You have to keep going. Hey, I was wondering why I hadn't done a lot of Jewish events recently. So you're doing them all, are you?
I'm going for it. Do you get those things?
I've done a few of them, yeah.
How do you get that? That's like Roddy Piper being Scottish.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. I kind of ended up doing a couple of things. I was the comic relief at the Holocaust Memorial Dinner.
Oh, that sounds fun.
You know, it's a much coveted spot. It's not an easy gig, I'll tell you.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty hard.
That's wild.
Yeah, but if you get asked to do it, you can't say no, can you? You can't say, no, I'm not going to do it.
No, it's an honor too, but I'm sure it pays something nice.
No, there's no money in it.
You did it for free?
Yeah.
Wow, you're a real friend of the Jews.
Stop it.
Shalom. what joke do you say to transition?
I can't even remember how I did it. I think I don't know. It was bad because it was a really kind of a very tough video played beforehand, and then I had to go out. I think what I said was, well, I'm the guy who won the most coveted spot in show business, the comic relief. And I think I started with that. And then I got through it. But it was tough. What's the toughest gig you've done?
Well, I remember opening, this is not the toughest, but I remember opening for doing a show at a sorority at Cal State Northridge. Mm-hmm. And then they go, one of our sorority sisters died last night in a car accident. So we just want to make sure that you know that.
You don't have any jokes about that?
No, that happened.
They went ahead with the event?
Yeah, no.
God, people are weird.
And then, I've done a whole bunch of terrible things. Like, I remember did a show at a college and the lights didn't work. And they're like, so we're not, I was like, I just get my paycheck. This is great. And they're like, no, you we'll have you come back another time. I'm like, I'm not flying back to Florida. I mean, I would, I need the money. And they're like, well, we can do the show on the sidewalk if you want. And I was like, okay, I guess. So I'm outside on the sidewalk. So when the kids all sit crisscross applesauce, do you know what that is?
Yeah.
And then,
it was little kids?
No, they're like 20, you know?
Okay.
And then, but they're sitting in the grass. And then, but there's cicadas. And okay. So every time I told a joke, it just sounded like crickets chirping, like I'm bombing.
Some actual crickets.
For an hour, I was like.
Oh, no. You did an hour outside to crickets?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, you've earned your stripes. That's good.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, you got to bomb.
Yeah.
See, no, you have to. It's a real thing. Because if you're a stand-up and you don't bomb, then at a certain point, you're going to find out you're not a stand-up.
Yeah.
Because only stand-ups will walk through that fire. Only a real stand-up will go on a stage, bomb completely, come off the stage and go, well, I better do that again. You know?
It is terribly unhealthy. Like, I analyze it all the time. I'm like, it's like touching a hot, the whole business in general. It's like, for me, it's like touching a hot stove and I burn myself 499 out of 500 times, but then the 500th time ice cream comes out.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, I should try that again, you know? Like,
Are you in therapy now? You got therapy?
I just signed up for therapy.
Did you really?
Yeah. And
what age are you now?
I'm 37.
Yeah.
And I should have done it 20 years ago. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's like you don't study the Kabbalah until you're 40. I think.
Is that when you start?
That's when you start. Yeah. You don't. I think psychotherapy is, you know, very valuable. I've gone through tons of it, but I didn't get much of it early on. Mind you, I was a blackout drunk then, and I nearly died. So maybe I should have got it early on. I don't know. Did you ever feel the call of the chemicals and that kind of lifestyle, the booze and the...
No, I was one of those guys who I've never smoked a cigarette and I didn't even drink alcohol like a sip until I was like 32.
What did you think when you first tried it?
I don't get it.
Well, fuck you, man.
Well, can I tell you who was always nice to me about it?
Who?
Is people who were like sober in the program, respectfully, yeah. You know?
I've been sober 32 years.
Much respect. Amazing.
God bless you.
And my first joke on Craig Ferguson's show,
I was like,
he has to say I'm 20 years old. Like, that was my intro. Like, I had, you have to say he's 20. So then my joke doesn't work, you know? So then I walked on stage and, my opener was, it's kind of hard for me to talk about, but I want to let you guys know that I've been clean and sober now for 20 years. And then I make a joke how people are like mean to me. And then,
right.
But yeah, I don't know.
Did I say he's 20?
Yeah, you set me up.
Yeah. See? Thank you. There you are.
Yeah. And I remember I stopped doing the joke because someone's like, what if you're like, when you're 40, you're going to have people still saying like, you have to, you know, when you start out, you think you can tell the jokes forever, you know?
Yeah, you wish. That was something I'm envious of. I remember talking to Rickles about that. Do you ever meet Rickles?
I got to meet him once. It was so special.
Oh my God. What a guy. But he did basically the same act for about 40 years.
Yeah.
I was so jealous because, you know, you can't do that now.
Yeah.
I mean, if you do an act for 2 years, you're pushing it.
Yeah. You at least won't get the respect of your peers for sure.
Oh, no.
It's weird. I like the Chris Rock model, which is you wait till you have your great act, you live your life, you take some time off from stand up, you live your life, and then you have a killer special. It's a special, and you put out your special every 6 years, maybe.
Right.
Or whatever. There's no time limit, you know?
Right.
And then I remember there was this special on HBO. It was like Louis C.K. and Seinfeld and Chris Rock and Ricky Gervais, and they're discussing like, are they coming to see you? Are they coming to see the act? And then everyone just thinks each other's crazy because Seinfeld did the same act forever.
Right.
Or he used to, at least. And like, are they coming to see Greatest Hits? Are they coming to see
It depends on who the audience is. I think if you're playing, like, what's the biggest gig you've done?
Probably, I'm guessing Radio City Music Hall for America's Got Talent. Does that count?
Yeah, of course it counts.
There's like 90 seconds.
Right, but it still counts. It's a big gig. It's 6,000 seats. I've played it. So you
did your own show. And
yeah, I did. But that's the thing, though. I mean, what I quite admire about you is that you went at these comedy competition shows where I don't know if I would have done that. I don't know if I could have done that. I think I would have felt, I don't know if I would have been able to manufacture a stand-up in that environment. I'd have felt frightened, or not frightened, but what is it? I just didn't feel it was conducive to stand-up, but you made it work. I've seen you do it.
Yeah, but I today I don't think I could. I was just desperate as
right.
Can I curse on this show?
No.
Yeah. I was desperate as frick, buddy.
No, you can.
I was fucking desperate. I was like, I was 10 years in, and my career was like, I was about to. I never had to have a day job. Like, I was really lucky. I was able to like live in squalor. But I was always my ego. I'm a professional comedian.
Right.
I live with 12 people and I can't afford more than peanut butter sandwiches, but I'm a professional comedian. I should have had a day job. But then I was broke and my jokes were approved for Conan. And there was like a year of just like waiting to get on.
Yeah.
And what's funny, if I had gotten on that, I wouldn't have done America's Got Talent, but I think I would have still had to get a day job, you know? Like, it just didn't change your life like it used to, you know?
No, I don't think it did. I mean, I remember booking comedians on late night. And when I was doing it, and even then watching them do it, I thought, I don't know how I could do that. I don't know how you can come out and just like in the space of 5-10 minutes get them on your side. I guess you do. I guess I've done it.
My stand up is like quick jokes. I always wrote. Yeah. I always wanted to do late night all the time. For whatever reason, like the gatekeeper bookers never wanted me. I did late.
Is it still a thing, stand up in late night? Is it? I never watched late night before I did it. I never watched it when I was doing it, and I don't watch it now. So I don't really. I have a weird disconnect with the whole thing.
Understood. Yeah. Like, I think Jimmy Fallon's the only one that to even, or Seth Meyers and Jimmy Fallon are the only ones to do really. Like, but I did your show twice in 2007.
Right.
And then like Nick Cannon asked me to do his daytime talk show like 2 years ago.
Right.
I haven't done stand up on a talk show before or after. And all I do is write clean, quick jokes. But for whatever reason, I submitted like 55 times. I was always told to do this.
Is broadcast television even a thing now? I mean,
Instagram, TikTok. Yeah. The gatekeepers now are comedians and the algorithm.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Because there's nothing like a weekend pause with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
The algorithm.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah. That's kind of creepy though, isn't it?
Yeah. I talked to a guy at YouTube. This really kind guy who cares about comedians and wants to help. And he happens to be an executive at YouTube. And I talked to him. I was like, I'm putting out the special. Like, what can we do here, buddy? You know, like, you like me. Right. I like you.
Get people to come to it.
Put a little finger on the scale, you know? Yeah. You know? And he's like, that doesn't happen. And he says that the algorithm is his perspective. Is it really is fair. It really, I don't experience this, but his experience is it gives people what they want. They couldn't have guessed people want to watch unboxing videos. Like, you know, that's a big thing, is people opening packages of videos. Right. And ASMR is like, who would have thought people would love just women whispering and clicking things, you know? But the algorithm sends people what do they want. And
see, I don't know if it's good for you to get what you want all the time.
I agree.
Professionally I have Instagram, and of course it's me on it all the time. I never, ever. There's a company, I pay them.
Yeah.
I don't even.
That's healthy.
Because I went on it And then when that little search engine, like the little magnifying glass,
yeah,
and you start scrolling through, that shit's crazy.
Yeah.
It's like you get, you know, a war atrocity, kitten playing with a ball of wool,
yeah,
someone tightrope walking, volcano exploding. That's Pandora's box, man. Human brain isn't built for that. That's crazy.
The only things I try to like now are like if my friends have something happen, like a career thing, or if it's two animals from different species snuggling each other.
Oh, okay, see, that's a kink I'm not familiar with.
But like, you know, like a little cat, like riding a turtle, you know, or like a monkey, a chimpanzee respectfully, like holding like a puppy.
Wait a minute, why did you say chimpanzee and then respectfully to me, like... What the hell is that meant to me?
No, you know, I wanted to use the right term. Like, it might not be a monkey, you know, in case they're listening.
Oh, you mean like it could be a gorilla and not a chimpanzee?
Right. I believe it was a... I don't get canceled on that one.
Well, I don't know if primates are canceling people yet on social media. I don't know.
It was that monkey who sued the guy who took the picture. Remember that thing?
A monkey sued someone? I think maybe an adventurous lawyer decided to work on a retainer. No retainer, I should say. Yeah, contingency law. Because I don't think a monkey's like, you know what, fuck him. I've had enough of this shit.
There was a monkey type thing that took the first selfie in the jungle or something. But
right.
then they went that you don't own the picture because they took the picture. Then there's a whole lawsuit, you know.
Oh, okay.
America. You're an American. This is your country, baby.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of lawsuiting going on. You ever been sued?
I had a threat of a lawsuit. I got hit by a drunk driver a few years ago.
Oh, you did?
And they threatened to sue me. It's a whole like insurance scam.
I'm not a lawyer.
I learned a lot about this. It's a whole thing. They sue to make your insurance just settle. They just want to settle and everyone gets paid.
They want to make it go away. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was actually, I think. Over the years.
Now? Huh? You've been sued.
Fuck yeah. you know, I've been here for a while. You know, it happens.
Have you ever done a stand-up show and then they don't want to give you your paycheck?
I take no part in any of that.
Oh, wow.
I take no part in it. I'm very lucky that when I got here, this is a true story. I have a lawyer who's, I don't know if I should say their name. No, I don't think I will. But when I first got to America, I had no money, and I met this guy who's still my lawyer, with him and one of the partners. So it's a man and a woman, and they're terrific lawyers, and they're super successful lawyers. And I had no money at all, but I was talking to them, and they said, "Well, we'll be your lawyers," and like they represent really, really big people, and they did back then, like giant titans of the industry shit. And I said, "I got no money, I can't pay you." They said, "No, we'll take a percentage, and it's not a big percentage." He said, I said, but you can't have, you know, 5% of nothing is still nothing. And they said, we have a feeling. And they're still my lawyers 30
years later. That's so special.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
That's amazing.
I'm very, very lucky. And we've been through some real adventures.
Yeah.
So who represents you? What is your, like, do you have the same manager you had at the beginning and stuff?
No, I heard a sentence from somebody a few months ago at this party, and then he came up to me. He's like, "I brought my wife to your show," and don't take this the wrong way, but she said, he's excited to say this. He means it as a compliment, but she said, "Oh my God, Taylor's so funny. Why isn't he famous?" And then I'm just like,
"Do you feel you're not famous enough?"
No, but I'm just saying, this is my representative to me, and I'm just like, "Do you not want to come up with a game plan with me? Do you not see any part of
what would be a game plan for you? What do you want?"
I want. It's hard. I mean, a lot of my dreams don't exist anymore. This industry changes so much, you
right.
know? Like I started in 2003. I wanted to be on a sitcom like that.
Yeah.
Cuz I thought you get a sitcom, then you become like people know you as a comedian, you
yeah.
know? Then I swear I'm not kissing your mom. We were pitched a show several years ago. That meant the world to me. I wanted to host a talk show.
Yeah.
Like that. And like, that doesn't really happen anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And like, it's just all these like huge dreams that I work so hard for. Like, oh, that's not really a thing. Multicam's not a thing. Talk show's not a thing.
Well, it's not. And it is.
It's been changing.
Everybody has a talk show.
Right.
You're on one right now.
Right.
You can have a talk show. You can talk to your buddy at YouTube. I mean, it's...
Right.
But you're right. It's different. It's definitely different. I was having a conversation with Leno about it. He was like, yeah, I feel like we got the last of that kind of thing, you know?
For sure. Does he do your voice when he talks about you?
I hope so. Yeah, he does, I think. He does.
But I want to be, I want my comedy to be seen by lots of people and enjoyed by lots of people. And I'd like to, I still want to create shows and have my friends in them. And I want to write movies and have my friends in them.
What about personal stuff? What about your life outside of comedy? What do you do? Is it just you and Betty?
I got Betty. I got a wonderful girlfriend.
How long have you guys been together?
2 years.
Okay, so...
Mm-hmm. And
you're what, 37?
37, yeah. Okay,
so
yeah.
Okay.
And she's been on your show.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
What's her name?
Ginger Gonzaga.
Yeah, I remember her.
Yeah. She was on your show. She adores you. Yeah. She's more of an actress superstar, yeah. But yeah. She did stand up for a while, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about my life, and my COVID messed things up a lot. That was like,
I don't think that's a controversial thing to say. I think that's true.
But it's weird. Like, I feel like I aged. I don't know. There's like an age. I don't know. Like, you know, in your 20s, it's like nothing matters, kind of. Like, you can make mistakes, whatever. Then early 30s is kind of that. But then like later 30s, like, oh, I got to make decisions in my life. I feel like I missed a few years of like chilling a little bit more, you know, because the last few years has been catching up on opportunities that were taken away and stuff, you know. But right now I feel so excited about my art and career stuff coming up and personal life stuff. And I feel like I'm figuring out who I am and what I'm about. And I'm not in a hurry. I spend too much time trying to do things by a certain age. It's like a dumb thing that happened starting out so young.
I think everybody does that. I remember, because I remember saying, like, when I was a kid, you know, Orson Welles made Citizen Kane by the time he was like 25 or something.
You did that too.
Yeah. And then, you got to look at the whole picture. Look at Orson Welles at like, you know, in his 60s doing commercials for frozen peas. Not that there's anything wrong with doing a commercial for frozen peas, but, you know, it's not a kind of linear thing. It's very naive, I think, to think, oh, well, once I get this, everything's going to be okay. You know? I don't know. I think the longer I survive physically, the more I'm like, yeah, health is the only thing that fucking matters, man. It's the only thing that matters.
Yeah.
Health in your family. That's the only thing. Am I ever... Show business? Fuck, please. Show business, I feel, is like the internet. It's only dangerous if you take it seriously.
Oh, interesting.
You don't take it seriously, it doesn't matter at all.
Right.
It's crazy. You know, hey, look, he did this. Okay, that's great. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's a funny journey. And like, even just being alive still, I feel like I'm doing well. You know, like, it's just
you're ahead of the game. 90% of people aren't.
Yeah, there's so many people that like I used to try to impress in this business or like wanted their validation or like wanted them to work with me, whatever. They're not in the business anymore. They're not alive anymore, some of them.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny how it resets. Have you noticed that? Like the people
Tons. I mean, like with Late Night, I remember people who I had idolized, who I became friendly with, who I went for dinner with, who came in my house. And then, you know, and now they've, you know, a lot of them have died and stuff like that. I mean, time fucking moves on, man. It's not like you get to a point and you're going to sit there forever.
Yeah.
It's, have fun.
What's your healthy thing you do outside of the business to...
I take no part in it, is what I do. I take no part in the business. I hang with, you know, my family, and I do that. I don't have like hobbies or anything. I don't like have a warehouse full of cars or, you know, but I bought a boat. I can fly airplanes. I can.
Oh my God. Yeah. I like you just casually say, I can fly a plane.
Yeah, I can fly a plane.
You fly multiple planes?
But not at the same time. I'm not an octopus. I don't know why that an octopus could do that, but you would need at least you need a lot of limbs. That's what I'm saying. But of course you would need more than just limbs to fly a plane. It's not like an octopus can go, I can fly 8 planes. That's not true.
What's the longest flight you've done?
Well, as me as the pilot?
Yeah.
A couple hours, I guess.
And like, so do you need to explain this to me? Is it hard to fly a plane? Or they just need to make sure that you're not an asshole?
Well, you can be an asshole and fly a plane.
Yeah.
But it's a learned experience. Yeah. I mean, you don't get to fly a plane on your first day learning about it.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like stand up. The difference is when you fail at stand up, you walk away with hurt feelings. You fail at aviation, you don't walk away at all.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. What I like about it and what drew me to it is that it's a very, and it's the same thing Leno says about cars. It's very scientific. It's very cause and effect. There's no, why does that guy do well and I don't do well? Or why do people like, there's no ambiguity to it. It's like you follow the rules and it will work.
Yeah.
You don't follow the rules, it will not work.
Right.
And that kind of appeals to me because show business is not like that.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow all the rules. Like you were discussing your frustration, you know, like following certain rules and it not working out for you. And it's like, yeah, it's show business is mercurial, but aviation is scientific.
Wow. That's so thoughtful. That's really fascinating.
Well,
No, but I heard your interview with Jay Leno talking about that too. And like, I get it more now. Like, yeah, you can, you know what John Cena says, control the controllable.
Yeah.
That's what John Cena says.
John Cena is a very wise man. I think it's been said before, it was the serenity to accept the things you cannot change, courage to change the things that can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Oh, they stole that from John Cena.
That was John Cena who first came up with it. I think he was the first Stoic.
Yeah. I was just in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and there was this.
Bastard, it's a great place.
Have you been there? There was this the fancy bar there that Harrison Ford would fly there.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think it's called Soda Bar, something like that. I don't know. But he would go there and have a cocktail like that. And then he would fly home. Like that was. Oh, I imagine he would sleep. Well, maybe he crashed. Maybe he would.
No. He's fine.
Respect to Harrison. But have you ever done that? Like you fly to a place, then you just like hang out and fly home. Like
I've done it a lot of times. I haven't done it with Harrison Ford, but I've done it with other people. And yeah, you
that's
go.
So
I've never had a cocktail. That would be bad. If I flew somewhere,
I'm not saying he flew drunk. I did. Yeah. I made a joke saying that. But I don't. Yeah. That's a good cancel, by the way. What? That's a cute cancel.
You were canceled for saying that Harrison Ford had
that's
a cocktail.
That's not bad. Yeah. Hey, I heard Harrison Ford. This it helps you with listeners too.
No, I don't want any help with listeners.
No,
What I mean is this. I always, you know, whenever you do an interview and they say, "Why should people come to your show?" I'm like, I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
Come if they want. I'm not your dad. If you don't want to come, don't come. I'm not going to force you.
Yeah.
You know who I am. If you want to see me, come see me. If you don't. It's okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to try and sell you anything.
Do you know what the business is now for? Like you're locked in as like comedy icon and people, different generations know you and like you're in a special thing. Like the things that comedians are doing now to get famous, it's not about... I'm sure it never was about just being a great artist. It's always been a business, you know?
Sure.
But there's people who sell out because they're promoters.
Right.
And they get agents because the agents are like, well, they're selling out everything. I guess we'll book them. Like the big agencies are signing these like...
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's always been the case.
Has there always been like people...
Sure, yeah. Look, you think an agent gives a fuck what you do? You think an agent, any agent in Hollywood gives a flying fuck what your act is like? It's how much money it makes. That's the business they're in.
That's something for me to figure out in therapy is like, I'm always looking for like it's, I'm 20 years in and I still think, I'm like, they're going to be my friend. You're like, they're going to be a mother figure, a father figure. Yeah.
I have now my agents and people I work with that I've been with for a very long time that they are friends, but they're friends now because I don't really give a shit about what I'm working at.
Right.
But I don't know if you're in the heat right now. You're your 30s, your 40s. That's like, you know, it's like fucking making your bones time.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to be friends in that environment.
Yeah. What do I do?
I don't fucking know, man. It's different for everybody.
Will you be my dad?
Yeah, all right.
Can I have allowance?
How much do you want?
Like $100 a week?
No.
It's not enough.
If I give you $100 a week, then I have to give the other kids $100 a week.
I think it's the other guest, Jesse Tyler Ferguson, has to get $100 a week.
No.
Oh, your actual kids.
Yeah, my actual kids. I don't want them coming at me for money.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah.
But if you didn't have them, you would give me $100 a week?
Sure, let's say yeah.
Okay.
Get the fuck out of here.
Thank you.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth, no matter who you are, that mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.